A father was trying to explain to his daughter the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. So he got out the wedding album, and thinking that visual images would help, he began to explain the entire wedding service to her. When he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. And she pointed to one of the pictures of the wedding party and said, "Daddy, is that when Mom came to work for us?" On this day that we honor mothers, it is good for us to think about how much they really do. Being a mother is not a walk in the park. By the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. In fact, women who have never had children enjoy the equivalent of 3 months of leisure time every year. A junior high school teacher lectured on the properties of magnets in his class. The next day, he gave the students a quiz, and the first question read like this: "My name begins with an M. I have 6 letters, and I pick things up. What am I?" And half the kids in the class wrote, "Mother." Mothers are not only a blessing to families, but also to all of human society. Christian mothers, I know this is a little different the way I'm doing this with it all written down, but I wanted to think this through and think about some things I wanted to say to the mothers here of this church, and really to all mothers. Christian mothers in particular are of the world's greatest asset, the greatest human influence, and thus the most substantial contribution to human society comes from our mothers. Now, to those of you who would argue that godly fathers are equally important and influential, I would agree, but would simply add that since we are talking about godly fathers, you will find in most cases that a godly mother raised them. And thus my point. The bravest battle that ever was fought, shall I tell you where and when? On the maps of the world, you will not find it. It was fought by the mothers of men. The influence of mothers is without a doubt immeasurable. The church, nations, governments, and society are dependent on mothers for their stability. Find a section of society where the mothers are void, or even the fathers, and you will find a society that quickly goes awry and becomes a burden to society. It takes the mothers in the home to bring stability to that home. And on that note, please allow me to give a short exhortation from the Word of God. I really wanted to bring something from the Word to the mothers, but this is not only to mothers. This pertains to all women, but I still thought it would be a good thing to share. So if you would, go with me to Titus chapter 2. And Titus is to the right of Timothy. So if you can find Timothy, take a right and you'll find Titus. If you hit Hebrews, you went too far. In most of your Bibles, it is only one page, so it can be hard to find sometimes. In Titus chapter 1, I should have given you the verses, Jay. Let's go with 1 through 1. I want to end with, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Verse 5. So Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And I'm not going to do an expository teaching on this. I actually have a teaching I want to bring beyond this, but I do want to speak to the mothers today and to the women of Agathos and to all those that are listening to this. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 starts with this: "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. The principal point I wanted to make out of this, though there is a lot that could be said, because he brings up several points here. The main one I want to bring up is that it instructs, this is a command from the Lord, that the older women would admonish the younger women. And it says that the word of God may not be blasphemed. You know, it was probably up until about 30 years ago, at least in this country, that it was not only the norm, but it was expected that all parents helped. In fact, all adults helped in the raising of all children. I lived on a street where I could just take off and run down the street and goof off anywhere I wanted, and it was safe. And all the parents knew it. You know, my parents knew, well, there's 27 other sets of parents down this street, and if my kid's doing something wrong, they'll let them know. And they would. I could be 10 houses down and in the front yard doing something, and, you know, the mom or the dad, if I was doing something wrong, would grab me by the arm and say, "Young man, you stop that now." And then they'd take me by the ear and haul me right back down to my house and give it to my parents, and then my parents would spank me on top of that. I mean, sometimes you just feel like, I'm just going to stay in my own yard. I only get spanked once, you know. But, I mean, all parents got involved, and that was normal. And, in fact, parents would get upset. You saw my kid doing that, and you didn't do anything about it? That was the norm. It's come so far that now, in our independence, God forbid that you would even say a word to another parent about their child. I mean, you get rebuked for it. If a kid runs out of the booth in a restaurant and another parent was to stop that kid and say, "Hey, go back," which is what parents would do 30 years ago. "Hey, you need to stop and go back to your parents." And the parents would be like, "Thank you very much, thank you." Today, if you did that, parents would be, it'd be like, you're in fear of a lawsuit. If you spank your own child, you're in danger of a lawsuit. I mean, it's craziness. So I just want to show you from the Word of God that that concept, that idea, that culture that's in our society today is not a godly culture. God instructs the older women to admonish the younger women and to give them specific instructions about how to love their husbands. Imagine that today. Another older woman coming to you and telling you how to love your husband. Most today would be like, "Who are you to talk to me?" And yet this is what God tells us to do. To admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, etc. Now it ends it by saying that the word of God may not be blasphemed. What the Lord is saying to us here is that though the world may act like they're not interested, be certain they are watching you. They want to know, is that Christian couple's marriage down the street any different than ours? Are their children any different than our children? And so, and the world today and women today, especially the younger women, unfortunately, I think too much of their advice and the ideas they're getting about marriage comes from the world and people like Oprah. And they're not getting it from the godly women in the church. And so, you know, the world is telling them, "Hey, you know what, if you're not happy, leave the rascal. I mean, you know, you deserve to be happy." And yet a godly woman who's been married for an extended period of time should go to the younger women of the church and say, "You have a right to stand by your commitment and your vow that you made to God. For it is not love that sustains your commitment, but it's your commitment that sustains your love." And the younger women need to hear this from those who can say to them, "Listen, I've been through everything you've been through and more, for a lot longer and even harder trials than you've been through. And look, we're still here and we're happy." You have to hang in there. You have to be committed to your vow before your husband and before God. Amen? So, now back to just honoring the mothers of this church. If you are a mother, and I want to say this, I realize that on holidays, any holiday, there's also that side of those who maybe the day is also carries with it some sorrows for those who have lost children, or maybe who were raised by a mother who wasn't all that great, or your mother has passed away, etc. I just want to remind you that no circumstance on this earth has thrown God for a loop. And God has given us an incredible promise. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says that God is able to make all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There's nothing that is so bad and so terrible on this planet that God is unable to deal with and actually turn for your good, which is an incredible thing. You know, God did not need to make a carte blanche statement like that. I make all things work together for the good. He didn't need to say that. He did. He put himself on the line big time on that one. But why did he do that? Because he knows there is nothing that can thwart my ability to bless your life. Nothing. There's nothing any human being or any society or any nation can throw at me that I cannot work in my child's life and turn it to their good if they'll just trust me. So I would encourage you and me, anytime we're going through a hard time or we're dealing with a very difficult time like that, to remember God. Just remember God. He's got it. He just needs us to lean into him, trust him, and turn what looks like a very ugly situation. I've been in several, and I'll say to the Lord at times when in the middle of this, Lord, I can't wait to see what you do with this one. I can't see any way this is going to be good. No way. But you're going to make it good. This is going to be good. I'm looking forward to seeing this one. Seriously, I remind myself of that promise from God. It's a good one. To the mothers that are here, I wish there were more. The problem being a young church is I think a lot of times on holidays, everyone goes to their parents' churches and all that. The day is coming that we will be the church that they all come Amen. To this church. But to you precious mothers that are still here, would you come up front? Amen. We have a blessing that we would like to give you. Just a love gift to be able to just say that we appreciate you from this family, this church family. Tu hija es una excelente bendición a esta iglesia. Entonces es, ¿cómo se dice? An honor?
Honor.
Tenerte aquí. En serio. I was just telling her that Carissa is a blessing to this church. Major blessing. And therefore it is an honor to have her mother here. This is Carissa's mother here. All right, so please, all of you, this is a love gift from our family to you all, so please take one. And Megan was so kind as to put all these together for you all. So you can say thank you to her. Methodically, we thought through every mother that would be here, made sure we had all covered. What? Did you just almost lose it? I just kicked the baby. Okay, then. Why are we laughing? And I want to say one more thing to you all. Last year, I was driving down Bethel Road, just about to get on 315. I only mentioned it to say I remember exactly where I was because it was such a blessing. And I just really, it was just on my heart to just be able to say something really precious from the God's heart to the mothers and to the women here at this church. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, what would you say to them? And I heard the Lord say to me, I was struggling this morning going, what exactly did he say? How did he say? I know the point of what he said, but so I may not have the exact words, but to tell them thank you from me. But with that, when the Lord said that word, you know how the Lord works. If you've heard the voice of the Lord, he may only say two words, but there's this, an entire package inside the two words of understanding. I understood supernaturally what he meant by those couple words. And the Lord put it on my heart to say, every tear that you've ever shed for your child, every anguish you've ever gone through, every struggle, every joy, every hug, every lesson that you've taught, everything you've done for that child, it is the Father's child that you're caring for, and he says, thank you. He thanks you for every hug. He thanks you for every tear shed. He thanks you for every anxious moment that you struggled through in your love for your child. Everything you've ever done for every one of your children, the Lord says, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Now, I just want to pray a blessing over you. Father, we lift up all the mothers here, and I pray, Father, your hand upon them, that the days and years going forward now would be their greatest days and the greatest years they've ever experienced. Father, I pray that you would give them more wisdom that they've ever had. I pray for a very special endowment of wisdom, knowledge and understanding in the raising of their children. Even those that have grown up and left their house, they still have the greatest influence in their lives than any other person on this planet. And may they know that, Father, and may you give them wisdom in the counsel of their children, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that counsel. We thank you for your wisdom that is given to them now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Amen. 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 Blessings. Yes. Me either. You know what? It really blessed me too, and I'm trying to make the transition here. Well, I know a great way to do it is prayer, so let's do that. Let's pray. I really do have a powerful lesson I want to bring this morning, and there's not a lot of time, so I'm sure that this will be carried into next week. Yes, to be continued, but I just want to get it started this week. It's a powerful principle that for me personally has kept me really strong in my study of the word and in my spending time with the Lord in prayer, although I've certainly had my seasons of where I spent a lot more time than others, and you know, I have my peaks and my valleys, but even in those there's powerful lessons in it. All it does to me is confirm over and over and over this principle that I'm going to teach you today, and I'll continue into next week. So it has served to be, I was trying to think through about what has been, you know, one of the greatest motivations in my life for walking strong with the Lord. It was something Peter said to me a day or two ago, and it just triggered some thoughts in me. When he said, we were talking about something, I remember the subject matter, and he said, that's probably why you're still going so strong in the Lord after 30 years. And that got me thinking, you know, I know a lot of people that are not going strong after many years of walking with the Lord, you know, they fade away or whatever, and I was thinking, what is the difference? I mean, there's many, 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 many people that have been going strong with the Lord for 30 and 40 and 50 years, but what's the difference? What's the difference between those who do and those who don't? So just thinking about my own life, and I realized a particular understanding I had when I was very young in the Lord has served to drive me literally every single day. to stay in His Word and to stay in His presence and to be about the Father's business. And I thought, that's it. I want to teach that. I would not want to be without this understanding. So I don't want this body to be without this understanding. Now, I've done a lot of teachings that pieces and parts of it have already been said. So you're going to probably understand a lot of it already, but I'm going to put it all together in one picture that hopefully will stick with you for the rest of your life. Amen? So, on that note, let us pray over it that God's hand would be upon it. Father, we do ask you right now for your hand to be upon this message, Lord, that this would not just come from my head, from head knowledge, Father, but it would be absolutely anointed of your Spirit. Holy Spirit, move freely through me today. Move, I pray, even now on the hearts and the minds of your people, that they would have a heart prepared to receive this message, that even where I fall short in explanation, they would get it by revelation. Father, we pray your blessing on this message in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, the title of this message, at least what I have on the page, I don't know that I want to title it this way. How should I title this, Jay? Becoming a Perfect Man. Let's title it that way. The title of my message on paper here is The Perfect Man. The Lord has called every one of His children to come to a place that He calls a perfect man. You understand the word man means mankind. God has called every one of His children to come to the place to be a perfect man. Now, what is the overarching will of God for your life? As I taught it a few weeks ago, do you remember? What is the overarching will of God for your life? And it comes in three stages, three phases. What are they?
Reconciliation,
transformation, and duplication. So, one thing that will help you understand the reality of that is, listen to any teaching I do for the next 20 years, listen to any teaching you hear from any other minister, and you will find that every single one of them will fall under one of those three categories. This one falls under the category of transformation. This is part of the transformation process. God has not called us, understand the whole point about transformation, God has not called us to get saved, reconciliation, and then come into a church and sit on a pew, and that's it. We're just waiting for the bus, you know? The bus that goes to heaven. I'm in, baby. I'm saved. That's it. You know, I'm just going to wait on Jesus now. God would say, no, 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 no. You just came into the door. We got work to do. There's things to do. I want to transform you, and I want you to transform others. I want you to help me in the process of transforming other people. Discipleship is what that's called. So, the transformation process that I'm about to teach on is what God calls, I'm calling you to a transformation to the point of perfection, what He calls the perfect man. Now you may think that that's not realistic and that's not possible, and therefore maybe you just drop it. So I want to explain a little bit about what God refers to as a perfect man. A perfect man doesn't mean someone who never makes mistakes, has it all together, knows every scripture in the Bible, and, you know, is just flowing in perfection. The perfect man, now this is a definition that I'm going to give to you. Understand it's Brad's definition, but it's a good one nonetheless. The Rad Brad definition, yes. Or the RBV. I read this out of the RBV, the Rad Brad version. And it's this. This is what God means by a perfect man. Now, a perfect man, another way of saying it, is spiritually mature. That's not my definition. I'm just trying to give you another understanding of a perfect man. A perfect man is someone who is spiritually mature. So you could say the definition of a perfect man or the definition of spiritual maturity. What is it? This is one way to describe it. It is when your soul is in complete submission to your spirit. That's what it's talking about. When your soul is in complete submission to your spirit, and I would add this, consistently. Because we all will have times in the growing up process that our soul was subject to our spirit for that moment, for that hour, or even for that day. But I'm talking about the perfect man is when your soul is in complete submission to your spirit consistently. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, when you are at that stage, God would call you a perfect man, a perfect woman, or a spiritually mature man or woman. Let me give you some scriptures. There are many. I'm just going to give you a couple right now to kind of get the, I want you to see the scriptural reference to this spiritual maturity or perfect man. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Let's go there first. I'll give you a second to turn there and also for Jay to get it on here. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12. Tell me when it's up there. Okay. Says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a what? He's a babe. Now, does it sound like an encouraging word or more like a rebuke? Huh? It is encouraging, but it is a rebuke. But honestly, if you're spiritually mature, a rebuke is encouraging. It really is. I'm glad you said that, Daniel. Yeah. Daniel, like, yes. You know, I've said that to you many times, and you know, when I say, I love it when I read something in the Word, it's like, ooh, that's not me. And I'm like, oh, bring it, Lord. Give it to me, Lord. Seriously, I just start drilling down on that. Come on. Because I want it changed. I don't want to be reading things in the Word that don't describe me. The Word describes me. That's what it's supposed to be. It's a mirror. So when I read something that's not really descriptive of me, I don't like that. I'm like, we need to change this so that it is descriptive of me. Because it is descriptive of me, but it's not descriptive of me. Depends on which me we're talking about. My spirit or my soul and my flesh. In my inner man, everything the Word says is true of me. So when I see something it's not how I'm actually responding on a consistent basis, that tells me my soul is not in complete submission to my spirit. Forget consistently, maybe sometimes it's like never. I haven't even gotten past never on this one. You know, if I read something that it's not there and I'm like, this is not good. Or I may read, I'll say, you know, sometimes I'm there, sometimes I'm not, okay. I'm growing, but I'm not spiritually mature in this area. Are you with me? Are you following me? So I just say, Lord, I need this right now. I may not read any other scriptures for the next month. I'll just drill down on that one. Just keep reading it. Let it burn it out of me, Lord. Burn it out of me. Because I know how it works. I know if I take that particular word that is not true of my flesh and of my soul, if I feed it into me enough and keep feeding it into me, it'll change me, and I will become that. So I don't back off of it. That's why I say a spiritually mature person, a rebuke is a blessing. Proverbs tells us that, how does it say it? That's a good one. Yes, that's one of them. That's the one I was thinking about. That's a good one. I think that's the last one in 17 or 18. But it says, instructions and rebuke are, you know, when I wasn't trying to think, it just came to me. It's when I was trying to think of it, I couldn't get it. Instructions and rebuke or reproof, depends on your translation. Instructions and reproof. How many of you know both of those can be kind of difficult? Instructions, this is how you're supposed to be doing it. You're receiving instructions, older women to the younger. Instructions and reproof are the way of life. They are the way of life. Don't turn away from that. Don't put that down. That's ungodly. A godly response is, give it to me, bring it to me, I need it, yes, glory. Hey, if I'm already in line with it, beautiful. If I'm not, apparently I needed that. Talk to me. Now, it's told of those who are given the instruction, speak the truth, how? In love. So if you aren't giving that instruction in love, you're not helping God. You're not working with God. So just forget about it. You need to go back. Let someone talk to you a little bit. You receive some instruction. And when you get it together, when you get the plank out of your own eye, you notice it does not say that to that person. It says, judge not, lest you be judged, right? For which of you having a plank, how's it say? How's it go? Which of you having a plank in your own eye sees a speck in your brother's eye? Basically says, you go and tell them what to do. Look, you've got a plank in your own eye. It doesn't stop there. It doesn't say, don't tell them what to do. It says, first, get the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to help your brother remove the speck that's in their eye. So there's a part we have to have together first. We need to have our act together before we give someone instruction, not in every area, but that particular area you want to talk about. If you don't have it together, don't go tell someone else. You know, the old pot calling the kettle black kind of deal. So a little sidetrack there, but so here, back to Hebrews where I left off. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That word in the Greek is translated, it's translated throughout the New Testament 19 times, 17 times it's translated perfect. So it's talking about, and the word in the Greek, I looked it up, and it means maturity, spiritual maturity, or perfect. So it also is translated full age, but solid food belongs to those who are mature, of full age, grown up, perfect by God's definition. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and we're going to look at the first three verses. So today I'm probably only going to get the opportunity to lay groundwork. And then next week I'll get into some really good stuff on this. So just, receive this. You'll say, okay, we're just laying groundwork. Don't worry if it doesn't all come together for you. Just know the main points I'm going to establish today is that spiritual maturity is the goal that we all should have. Because, this is another reason I wanted to bring this. I'm going to be bringing, I brought a lot of truths over the last year and a half, and I'm going to be bringing truth and more truth and more truth and more truth over the next several years. And if you don't really understand the point of all of that, I think it really puts you at a disadvantage to be able to grow in the Lord, because it's just like, okay, yeah, I got that next week. Hey, man, let's get a good message. And then you find yourself a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, and you're no more mature than you were 3 years earlier. This is the case of most Christians, unfortunately. I know a lot of times I make comments about the majority of the body of Christ, and it's kind of in a negative way. And I don't like that, but I say that really, I'm trying to encourage you to just don't be with the masses. Be part of the remnant. The Lord says the same thing about his own body. When I return to the earth, will I even find faith? I mean, he says some pretty hard stuff to the body. He talks about the remnant all the time because it's a reality. So just, I'm not really trying to be negative on the body of Christ. I'm just speaking the reality of it. And I'm saying it's good for me to be aware of that, because then I'm not looking at the whole body as my barometer. When I understand the majority's not doing what God's called them to do, okay, then I'm not going to look to them as my standard. I'm going to look to the Word of God, and I'm going to try and find those who are spiritually mature, and I let them be my mentors, but not just the body as a whole. Well, most of the body, they get just as many divorces as they do in the world, and most of the body, they have the same struggles with sin and all these other things. So, and they become my standard. That's a problem. You don't want to do that. That will weaken you. Don't let that be your standard. So that's the only reason I say that. Do you understand? I'm saying, listen, look to the remnant, because only they are actually doing what God's called them to do. Look to the Word of God, let it be your standard, and, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It is appropriate, it is biblical to follow certain people in the body of Christ, but only those who are, through faith and patience, are inheriting the promises. If you see them broke and sick and living in sin, that's not the ones you're supposed to be following. Find the ones who are inheriting the promises of God. Find the ones you see walking consistently in joy and peace. Find the ones that you find they're on fire for the Lord. Hang on to them. Grab hold of them. Follow them. Watch them. Listen to them. Yes, that's biblical. And let the Word of God be your standard, but not the body as a whole. Amen? Okay, so it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I, brethren, I'm just establishing this principle in the Bible of we're supposed to be becoming mature. And there's a maturation process. Today I'm just going to establish that we should have this as a goal. And I'm going to get a little bit into what does it mean to be spiritually mature. And then I'm really going to unpack that next week. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. That word, spiritual people, in the Greek, is another derivative of the same word for perfect, and it means mature. Spiritual, he means that you're mature. Brethren, I could not speak to you as to mature people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. 3 years down the road, remember I was talking about that? He's talking to me, he's like, man, you're still the same babe you were 3 years ago. Are you serious? Come on. There's some maturing, some maturation supposed to be happening here. What's going on? And then, now you remember what I said as a definition of spiritual maturity or a perfect man? When your soul is in complete submission to your spirit consistently, right? Look what Paul says in the third verse. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Where do these things come from? Envy, strife, divisions, comes out of your soul. These are soulish behaviors, soulish attitudes that should not be in a spiritually mature person. Well, they won't be in a spiritually mature person. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, and you're going to find you're very familiar with these verses. Verses 11 through 15, Jay. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. Is Derek in here? Oh, yeah. Hey, would you just try and keep it, help me think about a way to get, an inexpensive way to get a monitor or something up here where I can see what's on there in front of me. I thought about that. I really did. But the problem with that is it gets reversed. I mean, I thought about a mirror. It'd be very inexpensive. But then it's like, we would need a double mirror. No. No, but, you know, I don't know how it would work off this projector and how that works, so if it's even doable. And I would like to avoid a cord running straight down. Just joking. All right. Where was I before I rudely interrupted myself? Ephesians 4, thank you. Okay. Is it on there? All right, thank you. Yeah, that would help. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. For what? What are the saints supposed to be doing? For the work of ministry. Just a little side note there, just keep that in mind. Not for warming pews, but actually out there doing it. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, the fivefold ministry is supposed to be equipping the saints so that they could be out doing the work of the ministry. And the fivefold ministry is there to edify the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ also edifies itself, as we'll soon learn here. So, it continues. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. We shouldn't be babes and somewhat mature and mature. We all should come to this place of maturity where we are one in our faith. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, now look at this, and the knowledge of the Son of God to what? A perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. You're solid in your understanding of the Bible. So that all these lame, ungodly doctrines that would come by, you're like, no, man, I know better than that. I know what the Word of God says. You can't be tricked by it, right? But speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. So, that's just three. There's many, many, many scriptures. Literally, I thought about putting them all in there. I thought, that'll take me an hour to go through them all. That's just three scriptures that talk about the maturity and being a babe. And don't be a babe. Grow up. Be mature till you come to the perfect man. We're called to this by God. So what exactly does it mean to be spiritually mature? Or what does it look like? It's when your soul is in complete submission to your spirit consistently. The Bible refers to this as just another way the Word of God refers to it, as being strong in spirit. As a child of God, we are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. However, when we first are born again, you know, I've been teaching, I taught for the first, well, when was that? Whatever. For 6 months, about 4 months ago, up to about 4 months ago, I was talking about who we are in Christ and that we are perfect in Him. We are complete. We've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. All of that is true. However, when you first accept Christ, we receive all that truth, perfection, in seed form. This is the part I realized. I really want to bring this out and start teaching on this. Otherwise, it can be kind of confusing. Well, if I'm all these things that Brad's been teaching, why aren't I seeing it? Where is it? Why is it not manifesting in my life? You need to understand this principle. We receive Christ in us in seed form or as a babe. We are babes in Christ immediately upon the new birth. Now, growing up in the Lord, as the Bible refers to it, is just like the natural. You can look at the picture of a natural, you know, the natural life of a baby and grows up. It is exactly like that. I mean, there's literally the stages just like that. But the analogy breaks down in that the natural growth is automatic. It's guaranteed. The spiritual is not. If you are not growing, if you are not feeding on the Lord, feeding on His Word, in His presence, doing the Lord's work, you can be 50 years old in the Lord and still a babe. That cannot happen in the natural. If you live to be 50 years old, how many of you know you're an adult? Now, you may act like a baby, but still, that growing up happens. You know, you're going to grow up. You're going to get older. You're going to get taller. You know, you're going to get older. In the spiritual, that's not that analogy is not true. There's an actual participation that we have to do. We participate in a process that causes the spirit man to grow. That's why Paul is saying to these people who've been walking for years, are you serious? You guys are still babies? Because it's not automatic. And so I'm going to be teaching more about how to grow spiritually. So anyhow, let me look at a couple. I want to show you a couple of scriptures just so you know this isn't just like my theory, but it doesn't really hold water. It does hold water. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And here it's talking about John the Baptist. I try to get some scriptures that are close together to make it easier for turning there so we can get there quickly. So Luke chapter 1, verse 80, and then I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2 for another one. And here Zacharias is prophesying about his son, John the Baptist, who has just been born. And at the very end of the prophecy, the Lord, simply the narrator, or the Holy Spirit, simply makes one comment about John the Baptist. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his manifestation to Israel. The child grew, that's the natural part, and became strong in spirit. Now look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. That was John the Baptist. Now, how about Jesus? Was he spiritually mature from the beginning? I know this may be a little hard on some of our religious minds, but let's just be scriptural about things. Let's be biblical. Let's be right on. Let's not just come up with theories that aren't biblically sound. There's nothing to be afraid of in the Word of God. If that's what it is, that's what it is. That's what you want to know, because you'll learn from it. So Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 says this, and the child, it's referring to Jesus, and the child grew, that's the natural, and, look, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, if you think that was something, let me blow your gourd just a little bit more. Look at verse 52 of the same script, of the same chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 is talking about Jesus, God on earth. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. God on the earth started in a seed form and grew. Now get this, Jesus himself grew in favor with God. Do you know that God does not give to all men the same favor? God has extra favors for some people. Now, that may seem contrary to what you've heard, but it's not. I can show you from Scripture, and I will, that God will give more favor to some people than he will to others. Now, what I want you to know that I'm not saying is, I'm not talking about favoritism. That's very different. Favoritism would be, I have two people standing before me, and they've done the same work, the same labor, they've done everything the same, and I prefer one over the other, and I bless one more than the other. That's favoritism. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, this one does the work, and this one doesn't, or doesn't do nearly as much, I'm going to put more of my favor on this person. God puts more favor on certain people than he does on others, and it's because of their walk. So just know, it's not like, well, I see a lot of favor on this person's life, why isn't it on my life? I promise you, they've done something before God to get that favor. That's just a reality. One place you can see that is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe two things, that he is and that he is what? A rewarder of who? Those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. That's the favor of God he's referring to, the blessing of God on someone. He gives it to those who diligently seek him. If you seek for me with all of your heart, then will you find me and find the favor of the Lord. It's throughout all Scripture. It's not a hidden little secret. It's all over the place. God says, come after me with all your heart, I'll give you all of mine. So, Jesus actually himself. Now, you need to understand, Jesus was God, yes. But he came here not as God. He came here as a prototype to show us what is possible. He came with the same limitations that we have. He was tempted in all ways just as we are, yet without sin. He went through the same things we went through, the same difficulties that we went through, and far more. But he came as a prototype. He had to do everything that we have to do. He had to study the word. He had to spend time with God. You notice Jesus went off often, it says. He went off often to pray. He needed it. He needed to get before God. Yes, he would spend all day with God in prayer. He needed it. And he would say to his disciples, pray with me. And he'd go off and pray, and he'd come back and he'd say, they're sleeping, pray with me. And he'd go back and he'd say, listen, you need to pray lest you be overtaken by temptation. Jesus himself had to pray off the temptation to avoid the cup that was set before him. God, let this cup pass before me. But not my will, but thine be done. Listen to that. His will was not totally lined up with the Father's at that moment. God, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. But not my will, but thine be done. What did he do? He took prayer to bring that together, to line it up. It took prayer to do that. And then he got it lined up. He's like, I'm there. I'm good. Let's go. But you see, he needed prayer, just like we need prayer. Pray, lest you enter into temptation. The devil was working on me overtime, but I went and I prayed that I would not give into that temptation. And I, through my prayer, I broke through. And then God sent angels, and they ministered to me, and now I'm back. Let's go. And he was able to move on. Jesus went through all of what we are going through. He is a prototype. So he also had to grow, and he grew in favor with the Lord. Here's another verse I just thought of. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. No, verses 3 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart. Mercy and truth, right? And what will be the result? You'll find favor in the sight of God and man. How else can you get favor? Anyone think of another way to get favor? I have a large portion of favor waiting me. That's your clue. That's a hint. No? It's good, though. I like it. No, I'm already doing that, so I'm talking about something that hasn't happened yet in my life. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Woo! Oh, praise God. Okay, so I just want you to see, and let me show you another example. Look at Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. So again, I'm just establishing groundwork. We'll get into it more next week. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And it says this, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men. Samuel grew in his favor with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? This is what we have to look forward to if we understand what spiritual maturity brings. Spiritual maturity brings the favor of the Lord on your life. I don't know if you were getting that point, but that's the point. It makes it worth going after if you understand what it does. It brings the favor of the Lord. The favor of the Lord, whoo! Do you know how sweet the favor of the Lord is? Oh my gosh. Doors just sling open to you everywhere you go. Blessings just flow into your life everywhere you go. The power of God is on you. The wisdom of God is flowing. Favor is just like, the favor is the river. It's the river of God's blessing. It's the river of God's goodness. You just step into it and it just takes you. When the favor of the Lord is on you, you know it. And you just see it. It's like, everywhere you go, it's like, man, everyone wants to do everything for me, you know. Boss is giving me raises, you know, everything. I mean, just wisdom's flowing. I get counsel. Like, I gave someone counsel the other day. It was an incredible thing. I couldn't even believe what I said. I had to go back and make sure it was true. You know, find it in the scripture. Wow, it is there, you know. God's wisdom will just flow through you. God's favor will make your enemies love you. Your enemies won't even know why. They just love you now. You know, this is a simple but a great example. And you know, this is the favor of the Lord, but I'm not saying it like I'm walking mature, so therefore I had the favor of the Lord. But everyone's got a certain degree of favor on them you can tap into. I'm just saying you can increase that. You can grow in the favor of the Lord. But I was thinking about this the other day, probably about a week ago, that one of my neighbors, two doors down, I was watching them, you know, when they first moved in, I just saw them and I went over to them and said hello to them and, you know, was just loving on them. They were new there, and I like to say hello to anyone who just moves in and, you know, just make them feel welcome, and I do that all the time. And I did that with this couple, and they were just like, wow, you just came over to say hi. I said, yeah, I just wanted to say hello to you guys. I live two doors down from you, and they're like, oh, that's great. So at first, they thought I was the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? And then I invited them over onto my patio to sit with me one day, and we were just rapping and carrying on. And then, you know, they came by constantly because they have a dog. They're always walking, and they come by my house, and I'm out a lot, so they say hi. And we just kind of started forming a really fast and nice friendship. But I heard her talking about other neighbors, and it was always negative. Oh, this person over here, I can't believe they do this, and this person over here. And I was like, I know, you know, the day's coming, I'll be one of those people, because that's just how this person is. So, you know, I just was a little cautious, you know, just being careful. I was just like, I just know what's going to happen here. Because I watched how it takes nothing for her to blacklist you. You know, I don't know if you've ever met those kind of people. Well, it wasn't long before I realized I got blacklisted. Sure enough, I did nothing. It's not even a question. I didn't have to question myself. What did I do? I know I did nothing. I was nothing but kind to those people. But there was a time when she was over talking to one of my other neighbors, and I said hi to him and hi to her, and she didn't even acknowledge me. I was like, woo. Then I noticed he kind of started not treating me very well afterwards. I was like, oh, man, are you serious? And then, sure enough, it got really ridiculous. Like, I would, you know, go right by their house. He's outside grilling because he always grills in the front of his house. A little strange, but that's where he was doing it. And I'm talking to him, and she's right there. She literally will, like, turn away from me while I'm talking to him. I mean, just as rude can be. I mean, she didn't even try and hide it. It was crazy. It's like, you know, I almost wanted to, you know, say something to her, but I thought, no, I'm not going to say anything, you know. I'm like, I knew it was going to happen because I watched what she did to all these other neighbors around her. So it got kind of bad. Well, she's managed to get a couple people to just, like, not talking to me. So I don't even know what she's telling them. I think it might be just the fact that I'm a Christian. Maybe she found out I was a Christian and she's telling them all or whatever. I don't know what it is. About a week ago, it hit me. I thought, Lord, I'm not going to lay down under this. I'm going to believe for your blessing on this. Just for the fun of it. I want to be a blessing to them, and I want to see your hand. I'm just kind of giving into the natural and just letting it go. I wasn't really hurt by it. I was fine. I was moving on. I mean, you know, it wasn't a big deal. But at the same time, I thought, this is a great project. So I said, Father, I just lift them up, because it's just the devil. That's all it is. She's deceived. That's all it is. I mean, God died for her just the same as he died for me. He loves her just the same as he loves me. I want to be able to love her, but she's not giving me opportunity. That's the enemy. I thought, what am I doing just letting this go? So I said, Father, right now I lift up my neighbors to you, and I just started to pray over them, and I said, Father, I pray you would give me favor with them. I've prayed that many, many times with many people, and it's like a guaranteed answered prayer. I thought, why haven't I prayed this? Father, I prayed you give me favor with them right now. I just receive favor. I have favor with them now in the name of Jesus. And I just came against the enemy. Satan, I bind you from lying to them. I bind you from blinding them. No way. Are you serious? I am so sorry, everyone. I had no idea. Okay, I'll wrap it up. That was only a week ago. And I think it was yesterday or the day before. Thank you, Thelma. Yesterday or the day before. And you. No, not that. Anyhow, so I'll go over there. I just realized now I lay everyone else out. That's not good. That's not what I was trying to do. So it was like 2 days ago. I'm walking by. I came back from the gym. He's out grilling again. So I start talking to him. I said, hey, I like my medium rare. You know, just joking with him. And he's like, oh, sorry, dinner's over. I'm just cleaning the grill. And I said, oh, okay. So then we're laughing. We're carrying on. And I'm in a place where you can't really see me. I'm just kind of behind the garage edge, and he's out there. And then I hear her open the door. And I see her come down to look who he's talking to, and I thought, that's it, she'll go right back in the house. She came out and just came over, and she started talking to me just as sweet as can be, and she's carrying on, and I said a couple of things, and at the end she's like, "Hey, it's so nice to talk to you again, and you know, we'll have to get together again," or whatever. I'm just like, it was just all gone. And I walked back, and I was just like, man, the favor of the Lord, it is so awesome. That's not a coincidence. I mean, this has been going on for a year. She's been treating me like dog dirt. I pray a prayer. The next time I see her, she thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread again. It's all sweet again, you know? So anyhow, I could give you many more testimonies of the favor of God. I just want to say, the favor of God is worth having. It's such a powerful blessing. God will use it to open doors so that you can go and talk to kings and princes. You can be a blessing in the earth. So next week, I'm going to get into how to mature. How to grow in maturity. I mean, I'm going to give it to you in a picture form. It's going to be powerful. You'll never forget it. And you'll remember from now on what to do to cause your spirit man to grow powerfully and how to keep it there so that the favor of the Lord will be on your life in a major way. Amen? All right. Father God, thank you so much for this truth. And we pray your sealing of all the parts of this truth that have gone forth today. And Lord, that it would grow, even this understanding would grow in us. And Father, that our hearts would be prepared for next week to receive the rest of it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your blessing on it. Y mi padre, quiero darte gracias también por la madre de Carissa estar aquí. Es una bendición para mí conocer la madre de esta muy especial mujer, Carissa. Gracias entonces, mi padre. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén. All right, God bless you. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.